I'm Wild Thing, and you're tuned in to another great episode of The Bullshit Report.
There are no more entertaining heavyweight boxers. I mean, first of all, boxing is a pretty brutal sport. You get two guys or two women, you put them in a square, rope them off, and tell them, bing, go beat the shit out of each other. You know, it's not very creative. You know, it's pretty barbaric and animal and ritualistic, if you ask me. The thing is that it's very hard to be an entertaining heavyweight because, you know, boxers are thought of to be the ultimate lugheads, like the ultimate meatheads. Like, you know, it's nothing to talk to with a boxer. The way a boxer talks is with their left and with their right. But here's the issue. The true issue is that we've had fascinating boxers, heavyweight boxers, like Muhammad Ali, and transcending boxers like Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis. And so what's happened is that it's been proven that you can be entertaining and be a boxer. So that puts the onus on today's boxers, and they haven't carried it. I mean, these dudes are literally, you know, no personality. All they do is box. You know, this shit is boring. I've seen more entertaining fights, you know, in downtown Atlanta on Peachtree, you know what I'm saying, between two dudes than I have on TV. I mean, all respect to Floyd Money Mayweather and Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao, and what they do, you know, to keep the sport entertaining. But the rest of the boxers, especially the heavyweights, man, they are forgotten. Those dudes, like, totally suck. They should probably borrow a page from either the WWF or Ultimate Fighting and the pageantry and how these two different entities present their product. I mean, WWF wrestling, WWE, whatever you want to call it, is over-the-top silliness. But in reality, it's still the same thing. You're getting two people, you know, you put them in a square and you tell them, hey, you know, go beat each other brains out, and whoever wins, wins. So it's just, wrestling is just like boxing, just like UFC. Again, you're getting two people, you're putting them in a cage, you're roping them off and tell them to go, hey, go beat each other brains out. However, both of these entities, WWE wrestling and UFC fighting, are way more entertaining than boxing. It's like boxing is still suffering from a concussion. Boxing is still suffering from a image issue. It doesn't know exactly who or what it is or how to evolve or what to create. So it's, boxing is sorely missing direction. Boxing is sorely missing a showman. You know, as much as he's talked about in hideous ways, Don King was a great showman. You know, he found ways to galvanize people, to interest people in the sport of boxing. And that's what boxing is missing. They're missing the great showman promoters, the promoters who could, you know, bring light to the situation. Sort of similar to how some of your music promoters, how they just blow up a situation like, this is the hottest thing ever, you have to check this out, you know. So I think boxing, what they're missing, it's fresh new blood, a fresh new outlook on how to package their product and how to sell it to the consumers today. And the biggest issue is that they never really solved the problem. Since boxing was created, they never looked into the entertainment value, you know. And that's been since the beginning. It just so happened that you had transcending boxers, athletes like Muhammad Ali, like Mike Tyson, like Evander Holyfield, that you had these people come through the ranks. But it's not because of boxing that created these people. It's these people who helped uplift boxing. So boxing probably needs a facelift. Really does. Because it's not entertaining. Just watching two people beat the shit out of each other is not entertaining. If you want to see that and you want to see some entertainment, you can go to World Star Hip Hop and see some hood fights. You know what I'm talking about? So what do you think? Let me know. Hit me up. Holla. Thanks for tuning in to another great episode of The Bullshit Report. Hey, make sure you check out our sponsors, Liquor Lollipops at liquorlollipops.com, makers of great tasting, non-alcoholic, liquor-flavored hard candy. I'm your host, Wild Thang, and make sure you check out my latest project, Motorcycle Music, streaming on all platforms. Holla back. Peace. All right, y'all. So, Colin Kaepernick just recently held his own tryout. Well, first of all, it was playing by the NFL, right? And at one location in Flowery Branch, which is like on the north side of Atlanta. But Colin Kaepernick relocated his tryout to Riverdale. Which is on my side. It's on the south side at a high school. So, you know, starting off from there, he was letting the NFL know that, you know, he ain't about being controlled. So that sends a little subtle message. So now, during this demonstration that he had, he showed that he's still in, you know, tip-top shape. You know, he's sharp. He can pass. He's quick. He has great instinct. So, here are the three teams that I believe should give Kaepernick an opportunity. Now, these three teams are teams that he can come to right now and still be semi-competitive, right? The terminology, plays, and, you know, the way that different teams call different things, that learning circle might be a little different and difficult. But these teams, these three teams could certainly benefit from them. And then there's one wild card team I'm going to give you at the end. So, the first team, and these are in no particular order, but the first team that can certainly use Colin Kaepernick and who he will go great into their culture will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. As we all know, Big Ben is down. We've seen the crazy skirmish that took place, you know, between their quarterback, Rudolph Mason, and the guy from Garrett from Cleveland Steelers, Cleveland Browns, you know. So there's a big void there, a void of leadership and a void of skill that Kaepernick will slide in easily into. And a coach like Tomlin, Mike Tomlin over at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm sure that he could mesh and put together a game plan to where Colin Kaepernick could be successful. Now, the next team is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, recently Matthew Stafford was diagnosed with a spine injury, right? And he says he's going to come back quicker. But, bro, that's a spine injury. So the team isn't like going in the right direction to go to the playoffs, but they are a competitive squad. They just haven't mailed it in yet, you know, in Lionsville in Detroit. So, if you get Kaepernick now and you put him in Detroit, then what that does is that gives you a solid quarterback that you can count on until the end of the season, right? And you don't have to rush back Matthew Stafford, you know, your number one signal caller, because you got someone who can hold the fort down, who you can have confidence in.
So that gives Detroit a very good reason, a plausible reason, to want to take on Colin Kaepernick. Now, this other squad here, who I'm about to mention, they can really use Colin Kaepernick. If they had a player like Colin Kaepernick, even if by him just walking in off the street, you know, putting on a helmet and suiting up with the team will instantly go from where they are now to being at least playoff competitive. Who is that team? You guessed it. The Monsters of the Midway. I'm talking about none other than the Chicago Bears. Mitch Trubisky has had a very tough season. The NFL, man, is unforgiving. You got to continue to improve. I mean, anyone can be successful for 1 year, flash in the bucket. You know, that's what makes great players like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers so special, is that once you start becoming great, that's when the NFL really starts paying attention to you and looking for your weaknesses so they can shut you down. And that's the reason why a lot of players, young players, you know, they pop out there, have a year, 2 years good, but then they just fade away. It's because the league, you know, focus on you once you stand out. And that's what happened last year with the Bears. But what the league found out is, if you want to beat the Bears, make Trubisky have to pass them back in the game. You know, he's a pretty good player, but he should have started on the bench. He should have, you know, had an opportunity to have 3 or 4 years of just watching, you know, at least 3 years of just watching and learning, you know, because the NFL is real, man. You know, college is good, but the NFL is real, man. They chew you up and will spit you out. And that's what's happened to Trubisky. You know, it was a funny controversy involving him saying that he wanted to turn off all the TVs in the training facility because he didn't want to hear of the distractors and the naysayers. You know, that's just a part of the game, though. You know, you can pay millions and millions and millions of dollars to perform. And most cities, you know, the NFL is the number one sport. This is what unites the whole city. So, you know, when you win, there's tons of joy and adulation to pass around. But when you lose, oh my goodness, you know, it becomes difficult. So I don't know if he's just necessarily prepared now. I'm not saying that he won't be a great player, but it sometimes takes people an opportunity to bloom. And he's just not there. So to help take that pressure off, you put Colin Kaepernick in Chicago right now as they are. And those guys are pointed to the playoffs. Now, last but not least, I promised you guys a wild card. A wild card team who Colin Kaepernick can go to, and that it will probably be a good situation. That team is the Denver Broncos. What's the problem with the Denver Broncos? You know, Joe Flacco, the starting quarterback, is out for the season. So that immediately creates an opening, right? And Drew Lock, their second round pick, who they project to be the future, he's injured too and not necessarily ready to start. So what do you do? Why isn't Colin Kaepernick a good alternative? Well, because your general manager, John Elway, and those in the upper offices, the front offices, you know, their culture of what a quarterback is supposed to be and how he's supposed to lead the team does not mesh with Colin Kaepernick's blackness, to state it simple. You know, the quarterbacks who come through Denver, you know, have kind of been cookie cutter for the most part as far as how they are as individuals, unassuming, you know, tall. A lot of them have had past success, and they're very close to John Elway. And I'm not saying in a racist type of way. I'm just saying that a personality like Colin Kaepernick would be a totally different type of personality in that particular culture that the Broncos have ever had. I don't think they've had black quarterbacks in the past, but the black quarterbacks in the past were more subdued and laid back. I think that if and when and once Colin Kaepernick makes it back to the league, you know, he's not going to be looking to stand on a soapbox, but he's not going back down from questions. So the team that takes him on should be prepared for that. And that's the reason why the first three teams, like Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, I believe would be more appealing to Colin Kaepernick than a team like Denver. And, you know, and much more appealing than a team like Cincinnati or Miami. You know, those things, they didn't, those teams in the toilet bowl, they didn't already, they been in melded in. You know, Miami, them boys, they won a couple games, but they like, damn, they surprised they won the game because they been done melted in. And in Cincinnati, that culture there is toxic. You know, they are 0-9 with at least a 6-10 team. Like, the talent on their team is there, but it's an inner mutiny going on. And I believe that it might have started last year when Cincinnati lost their coach, Marvin Lewis. But you never know. So those are the three teams I believe that should take a look at Colin Kaepernick. You let me know what you think. Which of these three teams do you think is going to sign him? Or do you think it's a different team? Holla back.